joeberkey.com today.
Each and every show at the top, we go right to the Beltway to speak with the True Insiders. Justin Duckman from Talk Radio News joins us now. And Justin, there's just so much that has been happening the last couple of weeks. Of course, all of us still talking about health care and what the Supreme Court ultimately, what their decision will be. We won't know that till the end of June. Some of the things that we do know are the results of a poll that shows Mitt Romney is leading, I believe, when it comes to Pennsylvania in this latest primary.
Yes, it's a stunning reversal from just 1 month ago. Public policy polling had a poll out today that showed Romney is now leading by about 5 points, which is a pretty shocking statistic, since this is Santorum's home territory and where he is really putting all of his support and hedging all of his bets. And there has been quite a bit of discussion that this could change things. He does not want to lose on his home turf, since that would effectively end his political career, and he's currently campaigning right now as the party's number one guy for 2016. We're also seeing today that Santorum announced that he is going to take a 4-day break from the campaign trail, wherein he's going to be spending time with the family for Easter. And there's been some discussion that he may be discussing with them the possibility of dropping out, since he does not want to lose face by having yet another loss in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no kidding. The other big story in the day that we're going to talk about is the sentencing of those police officers in New Orleans, of course, in the wake of Katrina and some of the things that happened after that. What was the reaction on the Hill?
The reaction on the Hill was just a basic sense of justice being served. The details behind the shooting were absolutely brutal. You had officers who were called to a scene, saw an unarmed family who was scourging for supplies, and then opened fire on them with semi-automatic weapons and shotguns. And in one situation, they even chased down a man with pretty severe mental handicaps and ended up shooting him in the back, which is absolutely kind of blood-curdling to think about. So it looks today like the prison sentences are deserving of the crime, although I'm sure a lot of activists would say that the cops probably should have deserved more. But we're seeing sentences ranging from about 38 years to 65, and an additional 6-year sentence for one of the police officers who were involved in the cover-up that followed the shooting.
Yeah. The other big thing before everybody takes off for the holiday was the fact that you had the president and Eric Cantor, often on opposite sides, smiling for the cameras, because what did they sign today? It's so rare, but they signed a big thing into law, right?
Yep, they signed the JOBS Act, which is the administration and Congress's plan to try to open up avenues for small businesses. Cantor was there, and it was sort of a Twilight Zone-like view. These are people who have really been at each other's throats for so long. Boehner gets most of the spotlight, but at the end of the day, a lot of the animosity the White House feels towards Boehner comes from Cantor, who, anybody who's on the Hill can tell you, oftentimes comes in and tries to undercut any deal the Speaker makes with the White House. So it was a very interesting image, to be sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Justin Duckham from Talk Radio News, thanks so much. Happy holidays. Particularly about Santorum, everybody in Washington and beyond is buzzing about, when is the white flag going to be thrown in, the towel tossed, whatever you want to, however you want to describe it, with Rick Santorum. When's he stepping aside, in other words? So they have a big meeting, his group, his backers, will say, his posse, as to whether or not he's going to stay in this thing. There's a lot of pressure for Santorum to step out. So does he succumb to the pressure? Does he decide, ego-wise, he wants to stay in? Ultimately, I wouldn't be stunned if Romney keeps on these polls, keep on reading the tea leaves, keep on predicting the future. It makes no sense for Santorum, since Pennsylvania is his backyard. At this point, mathematically, I say it over and over again, I'm almost sick of saying it, we know that this race is over. And so, as they say in the South, this dog can't hunt anymore. And he can stay in it as long as he wants, but Rick Santorum has no shot of overtaking Mitt Romney. So now it's just a point of pride. Does he stay and try to score a huge primary win when he's so behind in the polls? I'm saying to you, just why go there? Romney leads with 42%. Santorum's behind him. Ron Paul's got 9%. Newt Gingrich has 6% for what it's worth. I mean, this is all but over. It hasn't officially been declared over, but it's over. So there's massive pressure on Santorum to dump this sucker, to drop the campaign, so the party can move on and unite behind one guy, Mitt Romney. Because, listen, the prevalent thought in D.C. is the longer this goes on, the more it helps the Democrats. They already have a stacked deck in an incumbent president. No matter what you think, no matter how many people in your neighborhood are saying they want change that they can count on, there still is heavy backing for Obama. And always, especially in the last couple of election cycles, the incumbent has been very hard to unseat. So I think this poll, and then if there's more polls, because there's going to be new polls that come out in the next couple days, I think this is insurmountable for Rick Santorum to be able to win in Pennsylvania. He's had some surprising wins in the West, in the Plain States, in the Deep South. You know, it started off with Iowa when it was really tossed to Romney, even though it was just a matter of a handful of votes. Tea Party supporters now at this point have diminished from Santorum's backing. There's still people backing him, but they've definitely shrunk. And really the reason is because Romney's the guy. The general election matchup is going to be Mitt Romney and President Obama. You know, that's who it's going to be. These are the two that are going to be left standing. Obviously, the guy who's already occupying the White House and Mitt Romney, who was trotted out from the very beginning to be the nominee. And so it was easy to see. It was clear to see along the way, even though people got excited about some others that were running, that Santorum and Gingrich and Ron Paul and Herman Cain and Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann and everybody else, John Huntsman, who threw into this thing, didn't really have a chance against Mitt Romney, even though there were moments where the balloons went up in the air and people got excited. So coming up on our first hour here of America Tonight, we're going to talk to a pot farmer. Yeah, we're going to talk to a guy who found all about pot farming and what's that like when so many states are legalizing marijuana. Also, for all the brilliance of Apple, just like other computers, boy, you can get hacked into. About 500,000 Apple computers were slammed with the flashback Trojan, a virus. Man, I am so sick of these viruses. You got people in Russia, in other parts of Europe, in China, in the United States, who are sitting here with nothing better to do, some jerks, than to hack into people's computers. And, you know, once you get attacked, it is the worst. I think everybody listening to me can attest to maybe at one point where they've been hit by a virus, and whether it gobbled up all your stuff or just created havoc, isn't it just awful? It just ruins your day. It ruined a lot of days. It was a Mac attack. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Your family and loved ones aren't ready for empty grocery store shelves. Will they survive if the system crashes tomorrow? Are you prepared to feed your family when a major crisis occurs? Will they perish from the lack of available food because you procrastinated? Getting self-reliant is the only way to ensure you and your loved ones will make it through the coming hardships. One of the most important survival products that is a must-have is garden food seeds. GetSeeds.net is offering a huge garden in a bag that will give you and your family the food security that it deserves. Our food garden in a bag consists of a whopping 100 packets of the highest quality non-GMO, heirloom vegetable, culinary herbs, and a couple of garden variety of fruit seeds for only $59. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 100 packets of seeds for only $59. This blowout sale will end soon, so call now to secure your huge garden in a bag that is heat sealed for long-term storage at GetSeeds.net. That's GetSeeds.net, or call now at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. Don't delay, call today.
Continue that discussion, by the way, on what happened to Apple and how many people suffered through yet another Trojan. Even Jack from Down Under chimed in and said, that's why I'm moving all my main computers away from Windows to Linux. Yeah, Linux. It's just awful. And I've gone through it three different times, hacking wise. I've had to deal with that. It's just crazy, I'm telling you. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So we'll talk about that, and we'll mix up some politics along the way, too. We're hoping to catch up with our guest out of the East Coast, pot farmer, who can take us inside a pot farm. What would that be like? I read some of the background on this, and it's amazing. Pretty much what he says is you'd be surprised by the people who are distributing marijuana. I mean, we're talking about people who are legally distributing marijuana and what you go through, the hoops that you go through to dance along that thin line, if you know what I mean. So the people that take marijuana, too, that can have it prescribed, boy, that really varies from... Let's see, anxiety now. People can smoke marijuana for anxiety, glaucoma, you name it. And if you have the right doctor, they can probably write you a prescription for it. Although it can be pretty dicey as to that whole legal line. We've talked about it before from all angles, with cops who think marijuana should be legalized, and that's part of the problem in the first place. We've talked to other people who have been busted for selling marijuana and think it's an evil, awful substance and a gateway drug. So the pot argument in general is far, far from over, far from over. So while we're hoping to catch up with him, let's toss around a few other things on the show. You know, this is Easter weekend. Of course, going through Passover and Easter, it's a huge Holy Week. It is Holy Week right now. We're in the middle of it. And it's also a week where in a lot of cases, maybe because of that or starting connecting to it, a lot of kids will have spring break. You're chasing the Easter eggs and then you're off next week. And it's kind of a, to me, even though we've already officially had the first day of spring, it's like that renewal thing that here we are, boom, and we're starting, we're winding the clock all over again. We're starting anew. That's what, to me, for some reason, I guess it's because I always, as a kid, associated it with that, with Easter, with the, you have the week off, you have the break, you have the whole Easter holiday and what that means, and then boom, we're sort of into the, we're into the second half. Biblically, it's that way as well. Speaking of biblically, boy, a lot of people in the Lone Star State, you're listening to me in Connecticut or Illinois or Maine or Florida or one of the other affiliates that we're on, some of our other great affiliates around the country, and you see these pictures of these tornadoes now that are so widespread that happened on Monday, and boy, doesn't it look like thousands of people, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, or at least hundreds of people would have died. Now they're saying 1,100 homes were actually hit by the Texas tornadoes because the Red Cross went through them. Initially, remember, it was like 300 and then 50 businesses, and you knew there was going to be more. But, boy, I had no idea until I actually toured some of the areas and could see the damage that the estimates of the amount of homes could not have been further off. You know, where some of the homes, the roof was just peeled back. Others, I say just peeled back, because others, you'd see, like, the front door and the front part of the house. You had homes where everything was in the front yard, cars smashed, turned over, and kitchen sinks that were now rearranged, and they were in the front of the house, and just damage galore. I can only imagine what the actual dollar amount for this disaster will be, because it has to be, I mean, it has to be in the hundreds, it has to be in the millions, hundreds of millions maybe, I don't know. Looking at the damage, that's the first thing I thought of, since everybody's okay. And now they're talking about the potential for more storms coming up on Easter Sunday. And so what they're telling people, and we've talked about that too on America Tonight, I'm guilty of not being emergency prepared, and I learned my lesson, but they're talking to people about having flashlights, having a first aid kit, having a supply of water. What do you do with your pets when you think a tornado could be barreling down your street or somewhere close to you anyway in the neighborhood? What do you do? How do you get messages to people? So this was what happened with the Red Cross is they used it to educate people. They've been pumping that message out all over the place. And the National Weather Service, they officially say 13 tornadoes total hit the Dallas-Fort Worth area. 13 total. Wow. And one of the twisters we know was an EF3 because it hit at 150 miles an hour, just ripped up a town east of Dallas. And, you know, if you want to look at the scale, E5 is just out of the ballpark, right? That's, you're not surviving. I don't know how you survive that. But there were tornadoes that ranged from EF1, EF2, and then all the way up to EF3. But the crazy thing is just now so many people across the country talking about they cannot believe that nobody was killed in what happened a couple of days ago. Nobody. You see the tornadoes, and it really looks like a movie set, and nobody is killed as a result of it. Just absolutely crazy. And I'm sure that the governor toured it, he'll declare a state of emergency in the DFW area if he already hasn't, because of the amounts of damage, I would think. And like I said, the Red Cross is taken people in, found them temporary shelter, because so many of these houses are, you can't inhabit these houses, and it's going to take for them to put them back together, have the insurance adjusters come out we know that's going to take some time. So by the time somebody goes from the shock of surviving it, seeing their place, trying to gather what they can, staying in a shelter somewhere or in a hotel or with family or whatever, and then getting a check and piecing it together, it's got to be at least a year process. Anybody who's had a house that caught on fire or had other damage to their house, whether it was a hurricane or something else that could have taken the house down, you know just how awful that process is, how long it takes, and then storing what you can manage to save. And I think in some of the homes that I looked at, very little was salvageable. They might have found some pictures and a couple of things clothing-wise intact, but a lot of the stuff was just completely gone, wiped out, and who knows, blown down the neighborhood. So some people will probably have to start from scratch. They'll have to start from the very beginning, and from A to Z, from clothes to the essentials to figuring out what they're going to do with the house, whether they're rebuilding there or moving someplace else. I said we were going to talk about politics, and we're going to mix that up next in our next segment. We're going to check the mailbag because so many of you, overwhelmingly, midweek, it was all about politics and why Mitt Romney. On this show, we keep coming back to the same thing. Many of you feeling like Romney has just been foisted upon you and you don't understand why do we have to deal with Mitt Romney, but I wanted Ron Paul or I wanted Newt Gingrich or nobody that I know was saying that they were high on Mitt Romney. Well, somebody must like Mitt Romney because certainly he's not getting these delegates through the money that he's been able to raise. Yes, through pumping out the commercials and whatnot, that helps. But people are going and they're, at least in the primaries, they're picking Mitt Romney, and that's how he's gotten to that position ultimately. But he was the establishment guy right from the start, and that's the simple answer to it. It's one of these games with the Republicans and probably with the Democrats too, that you pay your dues enough and that you become the guy. All right, so you've helped other people get elected, you've been loyal to the party, you've done XYZ, now you're in line. It's like the cardinals in the Catholic religion, only there's no smoke. Well, theoretically, there's no smoke anyway. We're kicking the can down the road. Stay with us.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Welcome to the weekend, America. Kate Delaney shaking things with you. Backwards, forwards, and in every direction. Farm Gal says, hey, there was a pot farmer down the road from me. LOL. We've talked about all sides of marijuana on this show many, many times, and I am pleased to welcome to the show Matthew Fink, and he is an assistant professor of creative writing at Northern Michigan University, and he's got a book out called Pot Farm, and this guy knows pot farming. Why? Because he worked on a pot farm. Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning from a cheap motel room in New England, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, the New England crowd, now you were specifically in New Hampshire. I would think that they would have had some pretty interesting questions for you. Didn't you do a reading somewhere?
I did, yeah. There were some very interesting questions. The New England crowd's an interesting one. Intellectual, staid, knowledgeable, fun, interesting bunch. So,
it's
nice. I have to say that AC/DC woke me up a little bit. I was approaching catatonia, and that brought me back, so I appreciate that.
Love that reference. Okay, so tell us about your experience first. Where did you work on a pot farm, and how did you get that job, and what made you do that?
I was working, it was a medical marijuana farm in Mendocino County, California, and landed the job through some fairly serpentine channels. We actually knew the pot farm's yoga instructor, and when I say we, I mean my wife and I knew her from back in our restaurant work days down in the Florida Keys. And she had found work as a yoga instructor on a pot farm, and the way the industry works typically is unless you know somebody working on one of those farms, you probably won't land work there yourself. So luckily we knew her and she hooked us up. I became interested in this kind of work after my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she considered herself to be a fairly straight-laced person, and she actually had to succumb, as she put it, to smoking medical marijuana during her chemotherapy sessions in order to stimulate her appetite. So I became somewhat interested in the politics of the industry based on that, and just wanted to go out there and find out what the industry was like firsthand. And the book just kind of details the behind-the-scenes goings-on on such a farm.
Did the medical marijuana help your mom with the chemo?
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. And she had never smoked before in her life. She was very anti-marijuana. And her friends, who are, you know, are certainly not potheads, they're a fairly conservative bunch. And again, as I mentioned, my mom really self-identified as straight-laced and kind of wore that as a badge. But, yeah, she really had to give into it, and it really helped stimulate her appetite and honestly put some meat on her bones and prevented her from wasting away. So seeing that firsthand was an eye-opener. And the industry, once I got out to the farm itself, really proved itself to be a philanthropic one in many, many ways.
Yeah, when you say that philanthropic, what do you mean?
For instance, a lot of medical marijuana farm owners in Northern California, including Lady Wanda, which is, of course, not her real name, but she was the reefer heiress and owner of the farm on which I worked. She and a couple of, a whole team of her cohorts, actually, traveled around the U.S. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and as a lot of people know, there were all sorts of impromptu refugee camps set up in stadiums and on fairgrounds all across the U.S. for the folks who lost their homes during Katrina. A lot of the medical marijuana farm owners would travel around there actively trying to hire Hurricane Katrina refugees, giving them a place to stay, giving them a steady paycheck, and all of this in the aftermath to help them get back on their feet.
Is the money good when you work on a pot farm?
Kate, it was the best money I've ever made. As a professor of creative writing and higher education now, I have to say the paycheck at present doesn't even come close.
Really? So here's the thing. It's a business. It's a business, but you have to navigate that thin line, and you probably watched the reefer heiress navigate that thin line. How do they do it? How is it done?
Well, in California, you know, the line wasn't that thin. There was a law called the Compassionate Use Act, which was passed in 1996. And after that was passed, it was very much legal to cultivate marijuana on a caregiver basis, meaning that the crop must be used for medical purposes. And so the laws were drawn. So as a caregiver, Lady Wanda was permitted by California law to possess, say, 18 marijuana plants per patient served, and so on and so forth. That said, even though those parameters were drawn, the laws were constantly in flux. So even though California had state laws governing the growth and business side of medical marijuana, the various counties therein had their own laws. So Mendocino County had different laws than, say, Humboldt County did, and so on and so forth. And for every proposition that was passed, there were other propositions that were made, you know, 2 days later, 3 days later, 4 days later, attempting to revise said proposition. So, again, the law was really tough to pin down. It was constantly in flux. So honestly, as business people, these folks just went on doing what they were doing, thinking they were doing the right thing, believing they were doing the right thing, hiring not only folks like me, but hiring terminally ill folks and folks suffering from chronic pain to do some very light work on the farms so they could actually have very easy access to the medicine that worked best for them with the least amount of side effects. So I guess the line was thin, the line was thick, because it was constantly in flux, and it's all we could do was ride that wave. Sure.
And when you, what did you specifically do in harvesting the crop? You know, you were talking about the, I think that's great, by the way, that they, that there were jobs given to people who were chronically ill and they did right. the lighter stuff. But what did you and your wife do?
My wife actually was the farm's resident massage therapist, which is what she does for a living presently also. I was a field hand. I was a farm worker. I was out there in the fields 12-hour days, picking and trimming and grooming marijuana buds, pruning away some desiccated portions, pruning away portions that had given into mold, things like that. It was actually incredibly monotonous, backbreaking farm work, so not terribly glamorous. I mentioned that, you know, my wife was a massage therapist on the farm, and it was... the farm actually had there were a lot of roles that needed filling on the farm. It wasn't just folks working in the fields, but there was a doctor in residence during the season and things. There actually were snipers, ex-military folk, who were snipers who were working on the farms as security guards. They were stationed up in these strange little childlike tree forts way up in the redwoods, and they would scale these rope ladders, you know, to get up there in order to protect the farm from independent and heavily armed anti-marijuana militias and independent and heavily armed marijuana poachers as well. So there was a lot of danger involved, too. So when I was out there in the fields working the 12-hour shifts, I was always waiting for that other shoe to drop, for violence to potentially ensue. And thankfully, when I was there, it never really did.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Highlight has a question, a good question. It goes along with what we're talking about. How is it manufactured for sale? Is it a direct thing? How did she do that on the farm that you worked on?
Well, it was a collective. She worked directly with dispensaries. Essentially these storefronts that, are peppered all throughout California and various other states now where medical marijuana is legal, including my home state of Michigan. Folks, who were working on her farm would deliver, the marijuana to these dispensaries, and then, patients then who, were essentially allowed a group card or were given doctor's notes detailing, you know, how much marijuana they could get over a certain number of time, would go visit these dispensaries as if pharmacies and gain access to their products. So we made direct deliveries to these dispensaries around California. There was this guy Norman who would he was the main driver, and he would constantly talk of how he would always drive a little bit under the speed limit and make sure he stopped fully at every stop sign and all of this, because even though it was legal on the state level, it's still illegal on the federal level, and so oftentimes the state officials would act as watchdogs for the federal government and wouldn't necessarily follow California law, but would follow the federal one. So Norman definitely did not run any red lights when making said deliveries.
I love that. You were a delight. Pick up this book, Pot Farm. Matt, Frank, thanks for hanging late with us. Good luck with the book, and thank you for joining us on America Tonight.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendivite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We all know the importance of having storable foods. But what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Listening to me while you pack, maybe a couple of days off with the family, going to see grandma or hanging out with some buddies or whatever you do, have a safe weekend. A lot of people are taking those extra days. As I said, it's weird. I know that the 21st of March is when we officially say it's spring, but I think spring really has sprung around the holidays. And maybe that's, as I was mentioning, wrapped into the idea of the spring break. Although spring breaks, it seems, are kind of all over the map depending on the school systems and where, you know, what states the kids are from and whether it's private or public. With that being said, it wasn't about Easter, Passover, or spring break, or giant chocolate Easter bunnies or Easter egg hunts. It's about politics, politics, and more politics. At least all the stuff that I got into the mail room on Thursday. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
The mail! The mail is here!
Ooh!
Homer never gets tired. We got to keep paying him that rate. Whatever the after rate is, I don't know what it is, but he does a good job for us. Let's take this one from Mike McMahon. That's a great name. Hi, my name is Mike McMahon, and I'm running for Congress. Mike McMahon says, Kate, I am sick of all these politicians, truly. I don't think they speak the truth. The closest one is probably Ron Paul, but he's unelectable because the establishment doesn't back him. They think he's nuts. What's wrong with this country? Why can't someone with real solid solutions win a race? Oh, boy, there's a lot of politicians that would disagree with that statement. Well, here's the problem with politics. The problem is you're always running. Even if we talked about, let's talk about being a senator or a representative in Congress, it's the same thing. It's certainly running for president. It's about the money, money, money. You got to raise the money. You got to be out there stumping at all times. And then once you get the office, well, let's put the presidency aside for a second. Once you get the office of Congress or Senate, then the people around you want to stay. So they want to run again, which means you're always running. You're always raising money. And I think that's the prize. They always have their eye on the prize, and the prize is to get on the better committees, keep getting your name out. And the idea of rolling up your sleeves and seriously drilling it down to the business of governing, and I hate to be so cynical, but really looking at, okay, here's the problems on one side. Yeah, budget problems, amazing deficits, immigration problems, illegal immigration problems. Oh, yeah, there's that gas thing, which I guess is tied into the economy. So, and you know, I could go on and on with the list, but let's say you put your top five up there. Any good business person would tell you, well, that's what you do. You got to have a strategy, a plan. And it doesn't feel like there's a strategy because there's too much politicking. You have to take the politics out of politics. And how do you do that? You've got to elect people who try to avoid as much politics as they can. There is nobody that's going to be able to get along on the Hill right now and not have some politics involved, because you need friends on your side to vote when you come up with a brilliant piece of legislation. You got to have backing because there's votes. You have the House, and then you have the Senate and the committees and everything else in between. So it takes a lot of time to do that, and you have to have backing. So you can't be an island. That doesn't work. There's a way to balance it, but I think it's pretty tough to do. Let's go to this one, Holly Bolly. I like that. It's got to be a funny nickname, and I'm sure there's a story behind that. Holly Bolly says, Kate, I think that really, truly, the biggest problem we have in Washington is what you call Band-Aids. Shouldn't there be time that is attached to a lot of the lawmaking abilities? Shouldn't there be penalties for a Congress who can't come up with solutions? That sounds funny. Shouldn't there be penalties for a Congress who can't come up with solutions? Although I get what you're saying, Holly Bolly. Yes. What if there were incentives in a way tied to making your way up to different committees and whatnot? Why isn't there a reading period? There's something that Rand Paul said when he was running that I liked, and we talked to him a couple of times, was this idea that when there's a bill, you had to have time to read it. So something big like health care, nobody really could read through health care, meaning the people who were actually voting on it. What if you actually had time? There was a X amount of time, almost like a student. Here's how many hours. This is what has to happen. And we give you time to do that, so that when people voted, they could vote on what they actually have read in the legislation, not what one of their 15 aides tells them, underlines in the cliff notes as the dangerous things to look out for. Now, certainly it would still need aides, and they would still need help, because there's a lot of things that are flowing and happening on the Hill, theoretically anyway. But isn't there a more efficient way to do that? And that would be the way to do it. I understand what he's saying, because I agree. That's why I say Band-Aids. How come transportation gets a Band-Aid? And then they have to come back and do it again, and then that's more time. How much time is wasted going back again and again and again, which is what happens with the budgets. I understand tweaking the budget. I understand the tug of war. I get it. I get that that's going to happen. But what if there is a definite drop-dead date? like everybody else has, right? Think of what you go through if you have a small business. Think of what you go through with when you have a family and you have bills that come in. You have decisions you have to make. Money comes in and money goes out. If you come up with a budget, which is always so shocking when people don't, people know this from their own family lives. If you don't have a budget, raise your hand if you haven't had a budget a lot of times in your life. If you could look at me now, you would see that I have my hand up. And I always think, well, I have the numbers in my head, and I know what goes here and what goes there. And then when I actually sat down and put it to paper, oh, it was nothing like I thought it was in my head. So that's the idea. Why can't they commit it to paper? Just make it stick. You don't like it this time around, remember, next time around, every single year, there's a budget. Work on it. Absolutely, Holly Bolly, you make a good point. Frank in Kentucky says, I think we need to elect people who are more like us, Kate. That's the problem. How many people in your audience do you think can really, truly identify with Mitt Romney? How many? Would you say 1% of the audience? Would you say 3% of the audience? Or maybe it's higher. Good point. How many people can identify with Mitt Romney? Probably not a lot. His Mormon values, the kids and the grandkids and all of that, people who are Mormons, people who have family values, can relate to. There's things you can relate to Mitt Romney, things that are part of his life you can relate to like that. But the rarefied air, no, you can't relate to him on that. And that's why sometimes he stumbles over things or has while he's been running. When he talks about he has friends that own race cars and that kind of thing, because it's like his aides have to tell him, oh, you got to dumb it down. You got to dumb it down. Like, we got to go to Burger King, not Smith and Walensky's all the time. So, yeah, what about the ordinary guy? Would that make a difference if there were more ordinary guys? But see, here's the thing. This is what people in Washington would tell you. That's not realistic because you have to still have some of that politic in you, and you have to be able to maneuver around the system. That's why there's so many lawyers who end up becoming politicians. Let's take one more. Jake in Texas says, what's next for Ron Paul? I'm disappointed. I really liked Ron Paul. He didn't have a chance right from the get-go, and everybody really knew that deep down. What do you think he does? Could you see him on the cabinet? Oh. On the cabinet, are you kidding? You think Mitt Romney wants anything to do with Ron Paul, or Ron Paul wants anything to do with Mitt Romney? I don't mean that they completely dislike each other, but that they would work together in the same system. I don't see Ron Paul working underneath anybody, because I really truly believe what he says he stands by, so he's not going to compromise. What position could he possibly have in a cabinet? I'll tell you what would be good. He could be in charge of rearranging the Federal Reserve or finding ways to get rid of it. The special attaché to the president. Of course, that's assuming Mitt Romney were to even get elected, because there's no way. If Obama is going to put any Republicans in play, it's not going to be Ron Paul.